Beloved friends, we welcome you to the closing meditation on our subject, the incarnation of Christ. Very earnestly we do pray that the Spirit of God has been using the messages and that they have been spiritually profitable to every listener and a blessing to the believers, a spiritual blessing to all the saints of God and to our beloved unsaved friends. May the message be the means of bringing you to know the Savior. We have two more reasons from the Scripture to speak regarding the purpose, the reason for the coming of Christ into the world. First, He came that He might become a merciful and a faithful high priest to God for us. My beloved friend, my fellow Christian, have you ever considered what your Savior and mine has been doing and is yet doing for us in heaven above? His work upon the earth has been finished. Never again will He come back to die for sin. But ever since He went back to the glory of heaven above in that human body, He has been conducting an unceasing work as our great high priest in heaven above, where we read in Hebrews 7, chapter 7 and verse 25, He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Oh, my beloved, He became flesh, not only to redeem us, but then when He went back to heaven, while waiting for the day of His glory and of our going to be with Him forever, while we are upon the earth, there in heaven He is on our behalf, a merciful and a faithful high priest. May I note with you why He is so effective there in heaven as our great high priest. And I read from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted or tested, He is able to succor, to help them that are tempted or tested. Hebrews 2, 17 and 18. My beloved, may I say, by taking that body of humanity in all the perfection of it, when He was upon the earth, He felt every human trial and every human testing that we humans are subjected to, with the exception of never sinning. According to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, we are told He is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. But the experiences of His trials, His sufferings, and now the experiences of our infirmities, which plague the human family, He is so perfectly familiar with them all that we pass through. He is able to help us in any and every time of need. Thus He maintains the Christian's position and relationship before God. Let me again describe the priestly character of the Lord Jesus, which He now bears because He went through life and tasted and knew and still knows and still feels, if you please, the sufferings of mankind. First, we are told by the beloved apostle, He is merciful. That means in all of our human weakness and trials, and even in our failures, He is merciful toward us. Praise God for that. Second, He is faithful. That means He's faithful to God. He maintains our relationship in unbroken relationship toward God. And may I remark, even any believer that may sin that believer has an advocate, one who pleads with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. He meets the accusation of Satan, claiming that the believer in him is covered and is covered eternally by his precious blood. Let me repeat the two words. He is merciful toward us. And thank God he is faithful toward God on our behalf. Will you read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16? And recognize that because of this truth, we can come boldly to the throne of grace above and find mercy to help and grace to help in every time of need. I remember one dear saint testifying when questioned by one who criticized his testimony for the Lord Jesus and said to him, "What can you do when the devil comes to tempt you? You are no match for him." And the saint made answer. He says, "When the devil comes round to tempt me, I praise. I said, 'Lord, help the devil in tampering with your property.'" My beloved, that was good theology. Yes, the experiences of life makes the Lord Jesus understand and know perfectly what you and I pass through. And he is our great high priest to help in every time of need. But last of all, one more reason for the incarnation of Christ. He became flesh that he might fulfill the covenant of David. Let me repeat that. That he might fulfill the covenant of David. Let me remind you of the words that the angel Gabriel said to Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 32 and 33. Gabriel said of Christ to Mary, "The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." You can read in chapter 2 of the epistle, or rather the second book of Samuel, chapter 7 and verse 16, God promised David he would always have a man, a son, to sit upon his throne. My beloved, that man, that person now is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Have you never read the words of Peter on the day of Pentecost when he preached to the Jews of his day? In chapter 2 of the book of Acts, verse 30 and 31, as well as in verse 36, he told those people of that day, that same Jesus was going to be ruling upon the throne of David, and that he would fulfill that promise. And you know and I know that promise has not yet been fulfilled, but it will be. And in that human body, if you please, Christ will sit upon the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem. The enemies of our earthly people of God, the Jews, raging and hating them as they do today, they'll never sit and rule in Jerusalem. There's only one king. And the Lord God has said, "And yet I will set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." And as we may read in Zechariah 14 and verse 9, "The Lord shall be king over all the earth, sitting in his blessed person, both God and man, upon his earthly throne." There is no other claimant for the throne of David. Christ is not dead, neither did he produce any earthly successor to succeed him. He alone is the rightful heir to the throne of David. And he's alive. And thank God he's coming again to claim it. Oh, my beloved friends, let you and I do some inward reflecting upon Christ. Who he is, why he was born, why he became flesh, and the reasons that the Lord has given to us and the truth regarding his great incarnation. There is absolutely no sensible reason for you or for anyone to refuse or to reject him as their Savior and their Lord. Oh, my beloved listener, is Christ your Savior? Have you received him into your heart? If never you have, may God the Holy Spirit enable you to do it now. though there was no room for him in the inn long ago when he was born, you can say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. There's room in my heart for thee. But one last thought regarding this blessed one who became flesh. When the Son of God was born in Bethlehem and took the form of humanity, listen to this fact. He became a man forever. He became a man forever. Though you and I can never fathom what his glory was before he came to the earth, when he took upon him our humanity, he took upon him humanity forever. He is the God-man. Through all eternal ages, he will retain the glorious body of his perfect humanity. For great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Oh, my beloved friend, do not fritter away your thinking and your meditating foolishly, disregarding the truth of Holy Scripture concerning why Christ was born at Bethlehem. From our short study of the week, may every one of us think more about him than ever we have done in our lives. For Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger amid sorrow and shame. Oh, it is wonderful. Blessed be his name, coming for me, for me. As we close our meditation, the incarnation of Christ, God, very God, coming to the earth, becoming man forever, with all of his truth, may I close with a repeated text from 1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world for this specific purpose, to save sinners. My beloved sinner friend, why don't you let him save you now? Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that the saints may have been blessed and encouraged and edified, but that, oh, many a dear sinner will have found a Savior through the ministry of thy word and the coming of our Savior to redeem us. We ask it in his name. Amen.